What's up, everybody? This is Big Nate, and this is the podcast. Let's talk about creepy stuff. Pretty self-explanatory. We're going to talk about creepy stuff. Places, things, people, anything creepy. It's always been an interest of mine. So stay tuned, and I hope you enjoy the episode. All right, we're going to take a trip today to talk about a certain man named Rod Farrell. And on this trip, we got to go to the past just a little ways. Not too far, but let's go back to the 90s, where 16-year-old Rod Farrell and his gang of what would be called the Vampire Clan existed and committed a horrible crime. Now, this group would do what any normal group of teens would do on a Friday night, which is go drink blood, perform rituals, and dress like extras from the Queen of the Damned. I hope you're picking up my sarcasm here. So, believing he was a 500-year-old vampire, Rod practiced ritualized cutting and drinking blood when he wasn't doing the normal day-to-day teen activities. But one day in 1996, he decided to take things to another level, and he brutally murdered Richard Windorf and Naoma Ruth Queen, who were the parents of one of his clan members, Heather Windorf. She was 15 years old at the time. So when Rod was finally caught, he made sure he didn't go down alone, by the way. He took three group members with him into the slammer and escaped the death sentence miraculously. I don't know why an immortal would care about the death sentence, being that they can't die, but apparently he did. So with that being said, as a kind of a brief overview, ominous thunder in the background, let's set a backdrop for Rod and see how he became the scumbag of today's episode. Now, Roderick Justin Farrell's parents were just teenagers themselves when they had Rod, and he was born in Murray, Kentucky in March 1980. He barely knew his dad because he joined the military soon after Rod was born. So he was raised by his mom, Sandra Gibson. I said that like, you know, I don't know why I said that so weird. But he was raised by his mom, Sandra Gibson. They lived on and off with her parents over the years. And according to the court documents, Rod claimed that his grandpa molested him when he was only 5 years old. But no criminal charges have ever been filed against his grandpa. They apparently didn't have any proof of that other than Rod saying it. So, don't know if I believe him there or not. But, you know, like I said, they couldn't prove anything. So, and they lived on again, off again with him, even though he's saying that. Just kind of makes it suspicious. So, when not living with the Gibsons, Sandra and Rod stayed in public housing. And Sandra supported them by working as an exotic dancer and occasionally as a sex worker. And that's according to Florida Sun Sentinel newspaper. In an interview with the Orlando Sentinel, Sandra Gibson admitted to dabbling in vampirism. So here we go. If his home life wasn't unstable enough, let's make it even weirder by making his mom a vampire. As a teenager, her son took an interest in this hobby as well. You know, like mom, like son, I guess. He was already a fan of a fantasy role-playing game that was called Vampire the Masquerade, which you basically pretend you're a vampire in this. And so Rod had an interest in this already because of his mother, and she kind of groomed him in it. Not saying she told him to be a murderer, but she passed on the vampirism hobby down to Rod, and he loved it, and he followed it. And then it led to him meeting with an outcast group of teenagers that also professed to being vampires. And so he hooked up with them. And they would go out, and they would drink each other's blood. They wore all black, and they listened to gothic and industrial music. And that's just what's recorded. I'm not saying that the gothic lifestyle and industrial music are bad in and of themselves. They're not synonymous with everybody, you know, is a murderer that does it. So I hate that for them, because anybody that's kind of subculture, a few people make a bad, you know, do a bad thing, and then everybody that even remotely looks like them gets, you know, attacked. And I'll just say it like this, you know, if Ted Bundy liked Dr. Pepper, that doesn't mean everybody that drinks Dr. Pepper is as bad as Ted Bundy. You know, I hope you get that analogy, so I'm going to leave it there. So this older guy named Jaden, full name Stephen Jaden Murphy, kind of took Rod in under his wing, and he performed a ritual between his clan of vampires and Rod, basically where he crossed Rod over to be in their family, and he called it, he said he sired him. He basically turned him, you know, air quotes there, and crossed him over as a vampire to be in his family. And this ritual took place to make that happen, where they drank each other's blood, meditated, and did all kinds of weird stuff. And so Sandra Gibson, his mom, Rod's mom, apparently while this is going on, because she thinks she's a vampire too, she's writing letters to Jaden's 14-year-old brother. Rod's new buddy Jaden has a 14-year-old brother, and Rod's mom thinks he's just the hottest thing ever, I guess. And so apparently she has a shrine to Jaden of sorts in her house, and she's writing letters to him, or not to Jaden. She has a shrine of Jaden's little brother. Oh my gosh. And she's writing him letters saying she wants to be his bride for eternity. So Jaden's little brother's getting macked on by Rod's cougar of a mom. And so let's just jack up his childhood even more, because when you're a teen, you're still a kid. So this is just all the unstable moving, the weird lifestyle, your mom's teaching you how to be a vampire. And now your mom's hitting on your best friend's little brother. It's just, this isn't a very good recipe for success for somebody. So Rod and his mom, they were never very stable, and they moved back and forth between, Murray and, Eustis, Florida. So after Sandra's parents got a home in the area around 1990, you know, they went over there, then they would move, then they'd go back and hang out with her parents, and then they'd leave, and they weren't stable. Which is odd to me, because if your kid's grandpa was molesting your son, I really don't see why in the world you would stay and hang out with him. It just doesn't add very much validity to it. Maybe he didn't say anything to his mom, or maybe it didn't happen at all. I don't know. The whole thing's weird. But anyways, while living there, Rod became friends with a girl named Heather Windorf, whom the Sentinel described as a troubled Eustis High sophomore. She rebelled against her parents over things like cleaning her room and other trivial matters, which, hey, that's every teenager known to man. So after moving back to Kentucky for the 10th grade, Rod would call Heather Collect all the time because they hit it off. They were such good friends, but they would run up this super expensive phone bill, and her parents hit the roof and said, "No more talking to this kid. We're not paying for this anymore." And apparently, according to her sister, that made Heather extremely angry. So back in Murray, Rod was telling people he was a 500-year-old vampire named Visago, and he began recruiting followers because him and Jaden had a falling out, because apparently Jaden liked the whole vampire image and did the drinking blood thing. And yeah, that's weird, and I'm not trying to normalize that, but apparently Rod took things even further, because Rod was killing animals, apparently, in front of Jaden. At one point, he picked up a kitten and threw it as hard as he could against a tree, and it killed it. And he apparently, that turned Jaden off so bad, he was like, "I don't want anything to do with this kid." And so they split up, and I guess there's going to be a vampiric turf war. But Rod goes off and he says, "I'm going to start my own family." And so one of the guys he grabbed was Howard Scott Anderson, who basically came from an impoverished family. His dad was an alcoholic, and his dad was abusive toward his mother, so he didn't have a very stable home life either, so they hit it off really good. While he's recruiting these new members, Rod's behavior became increasingly unhinged, apparently. In October of 1996, he allegedly broke into the Murray Calloway County Animal Shelter, and he gruesomely killed two puppies in there. According to the book, The Vampire Killers, Rod was later arrested on charges of burglary, trespassing, and cruelty to animals. Apparently, he was known for this. And at some point, I was listening to something, and Rod apparently took it upon himself to walk around at one point during the middle of all this, and he would carry around a Japanese-style sword, which, if you're a weeb like me, you know exactly what that's called. It's a katana. And he would walk around and demonstrate his swordsmanship to people and try to dazzle the neighborhood kids, I guess, with his awesome swordsmanship, which no one does or should do. That's actually cool. But anyway, and he was saying that it was recorded that he said he was the reason that their neighborhood didn't have many cats around, basically implying that with his mighty katana blade, he was going around and slicing down the neighborhood cats. So if that's not a red flag, I don't know what is. So November 1996 rolls around, and Rod and his 16-year-old girlfriend, Charity Kissy, Scott Anderson, and another girl named Dana Cooper, his vampiric family, decide to drive to Eustis in Scott's car to pick up Heather Windorf because he's ready to be her vampiric knight in shining armor. And I don't know, apparently they're friends, but like I said, Charity was his girlfriend, you know, but I can't picture a woman alive that would be happy that their boyfriend spent hours talking to another girl and was going to rescue her. And, you know, it just seems kind of odd. Maybe vampires can have two girlfriends. I don't know what the deal is, but it's odd all the way around. But apparently Charity's on board, so they jump in. They're going to go save this girl from her wicked parents that want her to clean her room. The whole thing's just weird. So Rod imagined his whole plan was that they were going to move to New Orleans after they rescue Heather, and together, all of them were going to start their vampiric life as a family there, because for some reason, he believed that's where all the vampires hang out, was in New Orleans. I guess, I don't know if y'all know any vampires there, but that's what he thought. According to court documents, Heather told Farrell that, if I say Farrell, hopefully you figured out that's Rod by now, but Heather told Rod her parents abused her, and she wanted to get out of that house and run away, so Rod wanted to make this dream a reality, and he thought it'd be a good way to get his little vampiric family started and move to New Orleans and get out of town. So, in a Eustis cemetery on Monday, November 25th, 1996, Heather said that she crossed over to become a vampire after drinking Rod's blood, much like how Jaden crossed Rod over to his, you know, gang. And so, in an interview with Crime Watch Daily, Rod says after this little thing, you know, this crossing over process or whatever, he took some LSD and then decided to go to the Windorf home after that because they were going to steal their car and take it to New Orleans. And so apparently Heather was fine with them looting her family, but she went on record with the police and everything else saying she told him not to mess with her parents, not to hurt them, just leave them alone, do whatever you want, but just don't actually hurt them. So that's what she claims. Now, Rod and Scott enter the Windorf home after they get through with this ritual, and Rod drops some LSD. They decide to go back. They're going to steal the car, but then they're going to break in the house, and they're going to, him and Scott, go through the garage that leads into the home, and Rod picks up a crowbar there. I mean, this is where I get shaky with Heather. Maybe, I don't know, you know, like maybe she didn't know about this, but it seems odd. But Rod arms himself with a crowbar, and him and Scott enter the house. They walk in, and they see 49-year-old Richard Windorf asleep on the couch while the TV's going. Rod sneaks up behind him, grabs his trusty crowbar, and bludgeons Heather's dad to death right there on the spot. Right when he's finished with this, Naomi Queen, Heather's mom, she had been in the shower in another part of the house, comes into view, sees what's going on, screams, and throws a cup of scalding hot coffee on him. This enrages Rod, and he strikes her so hard with the crowbar, it apparently severed her brainstem, and it killed her instantly. The Orlando Sentinel reports that after both victims, afterwards, after this whole thing was done, they gave them ritualistic burns, whatever that means, part of their vampiric religion. So after that, Rod and Scott, after they, you know, Rod's killed both parents and then they burned them ritualistically, Now they're going to go through the house and loot everything they can. They got a credit card, stole some jewelry, and then they got everything they needed and put it in the Ford Explorer that belonged to Heather's family and took off. So apparently Scott was actually supposed to kill the mom when they went inside, but he couldn't bring himself to do it, so Rod was the one that did everything. Scott simply watched. But they both took part in the looting, so, you know, Scott, you're still a scumbag here as well because you watched all of that and didn't do anything about it. So Jennifer Windorf, who is Heather's sister, 17 years old, discovered their parents' dead bodies when she returned home from work that night. And Heather apparently wouldn't even realize her parents had been killed until after she left town, according to the Orlando Sentinel. That's Heather's story. She's sticking to that, saying she didn't condone any of this. I don't know which way. You decide for yourself, just like I do. I'm on the fence, so I can't really say one way or the other. I guess I lean more to she wasn't really as innocent as she's acting. But on November 27th, murder warrants were issued. Sorry about that. Murder warrants were issued for all five teens, including Heather Windorf. After 4 days on the run, police caught up with the group on November 28th, and the Associated Press reported that they were tracked to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, after Charity Kissy called her mother. Apparently she was trying to get her to wire some money, and this helped set up a trap to catch them. And so the press soon went wild with the stories of the Vampire Clan, as they were called in the British newspaper, The Independent. So let me just add that in the 80s and 90s, the Satanic Panic was a thing, and this would have been more fuel to that fire. Sadly, a lot of different or subculture people had a rough go around this time, even though they didn't do anything, because a few weirdos took things to an extreme. Basically, a lot of nerds like myself, I'm including myself in that, people that like nerdy stuff, like tabletop games and such, and wore black. A lot of the nerdy people like that, myself included again, we got looked at funny because, you know, we fit this aesthetic that these murderers carried on. I mean, like I said, they're not synonymous with each other. A lot of people wear black and play tabletop games, and they're not murderers, and they aren't even drinking each other's blood, so. But in the aftermath of the arrest, Rod played the role of a vampire supervillain all the way to the hilt of it. He loved every bit of it. In an interview with the Orlando Sentinel, he claimed he was being framed by a rival group of vampires, and that he had multiple personalities, and that he was trying to ditch being a vampire. Kind of interesting how he's so cool and he's all about being a vampire, and then when the heat gets turned on, he's like, I'm trying to get rid of this. I have a split personality. This isn't my fault. I don't want to be blamed for any of this. When he got his picture taken, he would do stuff like stick out his tongue, or he would sarcastically say, God bless America. You know, he's just such a cool guy. I mean, my eyes are rolling so hard, my neck's going to break. So, despite all his shows of defiance, Rod blew everyone away when he pleaded guilty to two counts of murder in the first degree at the start of his trial on February 5th, 1998. He accepts responsibility, and he wants to live, is what Rod's attorney said. It's what his attorney said. And then Rod's mom apparently broke into tears, according to the Chicago Tribune, during this whole thing. And I'm like, oh no, poor lady that was macking on a 14-year-old that had a shrine to him in her house and taught her kid how to be a vampire. This seems, oh gosh, sickening. Weeks later, he was sentenced to death, with CBS News reporting Circuit Judge Jerry Lockett saying, I think you are a disturbed young man. I think your family failed you, and I think society failed you. I agree with that statement, but yes, your background has a lot to do with certain things, but I know people from bad backgrounds that have made great lives for themselves, so at the end of the day, you're still responsible for your own choices. So for his role in the Windorf murders, and we'll get to, yes, he was given the death sentence, but I'll show you how he got out of it in just a minute. For his role in the Windorf murders, Scott Anderson pleaded guilty in April 1998 and received two life sentences. Soon afterwards, Dana Cooper and Charity Kissy made plea deals in exchange for reduced charges, and Charity Kissy got a 10-year sentence, while Dana Cooper got a 17-year sentence. Both women have since been released from prison. In December 2018, the Daily Commercial reported Anderson's sentence had been reduced to 40 years. So including time already served. So basically, he'll be 51 years old when he finally gets out of jail. The two other girls got out already, but we're waiting on Anderson to get out. Well, I mean, I'm not, but you know what I'm saying. And apparently Heather, guess what? She got scot-free in all this. And I'll get to that in just a minute. So, because Rod was only 17 when he was sentenced to death, he held the record for the youngest prisoner in America on death row. But November 2000 rolls around, and the Orlando Sentinel reported that Rod's death sentence was commuted to life in prison after the Florida Supreme Court ruled defendants must be 17 or older when they commit a crime for execution. So he weaseled out of that. So now he's just down to a life sentence. And so twice, grand juries declined to press charges against Heather Windorf for having any part in this murder of her parents, because she stuck to the story. She did not know this was going to happen. She didn't okay any of this, and she swore she told Rod to please spare her family. So an Orlando Sentinel profile from 2006 found her, and she is married, and she's studying art in North Carolina, but her family wants nothing to do with her, which I can't blame them. We are to forgive others, but that doesn't mean we got to hang out with them. So my credits that I want to give out to this is oxygen.com. Read an article. It was very good. I like articles and telling stories about things without going into every little bit of detail. Like, I know some people like that, but there's some people that just like to get to the point of the story. And that's what I'm going to do on this podcast for the most part. We're talking 20 to 40 minutes worth of a podcast. So, I hope you enjoyed this one. There's a True Crime Daily profile on YouTube, and that's what I use as well to watch some of this case. But there's multiple on there because this is a pretty popular case. So, but I hope you guys enjoyed listening to me talk about this scumbag. I don't know, you know, it's between them and God if they straighten things out. And I hope he does. But yeah, when you do stuff like this, you're still considered a scumbag for doing horrible things. So that was our scumbag for the day. Stay tuned for the next one. Take it easy.